As an AFA insider, you're part of a community that stands strong for biblical values and works tirelessly to influence culture and policy with truth. Advancing biblical values and ensuring a stronger, upright America for our families and future generations. AFA Insider, formerly AFA Alert, informs you first about AFA's mission and aiding the church in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. Sign up to receive AFA Insider emails at afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And good morning, everybody, to Today's Issues. It is Thursday, January 9th. As the man said, Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Wesley Wildman. Good morning to you, Wesley.
Good morning.
And then Chris Woodward is our news guy today.
Good morning.
To you, Chris.
Good morning.
It's cold throughout much of the country. And in fact, was just talking to a precious couple that our listeners, Bill and Cheryl Mordick, they're from Grand Rapids, Michigan. They're on their way to Florida.
Which they picked a perfect time of year to do that.
But I said to
them. That was the obvious.
I said, so you came down south to try to escape the cold, and it's, I don't know what it is outside now, 19 degrees. We're about to get pounded, I think, with a great deal of snow.
Ice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Some ice.
Mississippi, that's the reason I cut you off there, because we would like, they say snow. We would like for it to be snow, and it probably will be for a little bit, but not like other parts of the country that will experience snow. Ours will be quickly turned to good old ice.
To ice. And Ray Pritchard, who's Dr. Ray Pritchard, is frequently on this show. We talked to him earlier in the week, and he's in Kansas City, and he got they got 15 to 18 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, we usually get some snow. We'll probably get an inch or two, but then we get ice throughout the southeast. Dallas will probably get kind of the same kind of thing, or may already be getting it. So this couple's on their way to Florida, and they stopped by to kind of do a tour. And I said, you were trying to escape the cold weather. And they said, well, we thought we would. So
I am wondering what it's like in Muskegon, or you said Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids.
Let's see if it's probably.
See if it's comparable. We it may be warmer up there than down here. He and his Bill
right,
again,
right
and Cheryl, they have eight grown children, 24 grandchildren. And so,
okay. Same,
same base
within 5 degrees here,
yeah.
There. So,
so,
well, you know, when you were sharing about, Ray Pritchard being 15 inches of snow, I just had this vision of him climbing out the window to kind of bail out the snow front door.
Ray is an avid biker.
That's right.
I'm talking about
that's what I'm saying. He's
got to
get out there and get the biking thing.
Yeah. You know? So who knows whether he's been doing. He's had a couple of accidents on it, and so I don't know if he's still doing it.
Hey, if I could take just a moment, for those that, as we mentioned, we have some guests. They're touring. We have some supporters who are our guests today, and they're visiting our facilities. There's a lot of departments they can see. We've got a new building. So let me just mention this, and if we welcome anybody that wants to come visit our facilities, stop by. They just stopped by, and we just talked to them for a few minutes right before we came on the air. Please go to afa.net/tours. If you go to afa.net/tours, there, if you let us know what day you're interested in coming, that will help us out to make sure that myself or Ed or others will have an opportunity to meet you as well, because we could arrange our schedules in the event we had something that day. We would certainly like to visit with you. So go to afa.net/tours. We do this all throughout the week, so we look forward to hopefully seeing some of our listeners. Open door policy, just let us know you're coming.
Yes, and we do ask that you go ahead and sign up.
That's right.
So we can expect you. And also, since Tim's not here, I'll say it. Make sure you're not wanted by the law.
Yeah, that helps. You know, that's the starting point.
That's what Tim always says.
That's
make
fair.
Sure you're not running from the law. We do have multiple times when people will come by to see the ministry, meet as many people as are here and available to meet, get to see some of the studios and some of the departments, as you said.
And it makes it easy for you, afa.net/tours.
Yes.
Right there.
All right, Chris, speaking of weather, the weather in California has led to, I'm talking about the dryness out there, has led to terrifying forest fires.
Yes.
These fires are taking lives, mm-hmm. destroying untold millions of dollars of property.
Yes.
And this has gone on since Tuesday, right? Since
yes.
Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this morning at least 5 people are dead. That's going to go up once we are able to figure out what exactly has been destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, and who's missing and right. who's, yeah.
I mean, so at least 5 right now, it's going to be a lot more. I hate to say that, but history shows that the at least number on a massive wildfire is going to go up. So we've got at least 5 people dead, 2,000 buildings burned, 100,000 people forced to flee. It's a really terrible situation, one that we definitely need to be praying about for our fellow Americans. I have a lot of sound at our disposal on the fire today, and can I play a clip here? Okay. I want to begin with a soundbite from a guy named Aaron Rabinowitz. Now, he's manager of something called Direct Relief, which is an organization trying to help victims of the California fires. And listen here, he talks about the basic needs of fire victims beyond just the essentials like food, clothing, and water. Clip one.
So again, what we're focused on right now at Direct Relief is providing those basic essentials. So providing PPE, providing masks, gloves, coveralls, boots, goggles, things for people who are potentially going to be needing to go back to their homes at some point.
That was kind of a unique soundbite, I thought, because generally when fires happen, we are accustomed to hearing and even providing things like the basic essentials. But he's talking about the things you're seeing Anderson Cooper or some Fox News reporter doing live remotes with, the heavy coats, the masks, the goggles, because I don't think we really take into account the fact that it's a dangerous, hazardous situation for you to be in just to try to go back to your house to see whether or not you even still have a house or to get some belongings.
You know, Wesley, the dust and the soot mm-hmm. and the smoke that even after a fire passes through is, like Chris is saying, and as this gentleman was saying from California, it's very dangerous. And I think most people...
And the chemicals that have burned up
yes,
some of the stuff. So
yes.
I'm curious about how many days scientists or fire departments would recommend before you go back and kind of visit that area to check on things. I'm guessing
good
there has
question.
To be a timeline that they would say, you know, 48 hours, you know,
yeah.
four or five days, whatever, let everything kind of settle. And it would depend on the weather too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder, what's the weather looking like the next 10 days? Is it any better in that area?
Let me Google that.
It is the time of year, my understanding, while you're Googling okay. that, Chris, my understanding is that the so-called Santa Ana winds at this time of year are, first of all, they're helping to drive the fires,
sure.
making them unpredictable and spurring them to move quickly. But it's very windy time of year. So I don't know whether they are, you know, can expect any rain to help. By the way, I'm looking at Fox News, their kind of dedicated page to the articles that they're running on this subject of the wildfires in California. And this is an overhead satellite image I'm looking at showing what's called the Eaton Fire, because there were at least 5 fires initially. There's some question about whether one of them is contained. But this is in Altadena, California. Should ask Steve Jordahl. He's from that neck of the woods. But it looks like much of the city is burnt out, or at least this part of it. It's really extraordinary. It's just an above satellite image, and you see all the streets, laid out, and the blocks for neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
and all these houses are on fire. And it's an extraordinary image, and it
yeah.
shows some of that area already blackened out because the fires have moved through.
Altadena is located between Santa Clarita and San Bernardino. It's northwest of Los Angeles. It's pretty close going by the map here. And then in terms of the weather today in places like Malibu, which is one of the more talked about areas where this fire is, the fires have been going, it's currently 62 degrees. It's going to get up to about 80 degrees today in Malibu specifically, and wind is about 10 miles an hour right now.
Okay.
Now, I'm looking at between, again, there's this is not over yet, and I don't know what the timeline is. Their expectation for the fire to kind of cease, because it doesn't sound like they're going to be able to get them under control.
Right.
But right now we're sitting between at the low end of $52 billion of damage up upwards to $56 billion of damage. In my lifetime, I can't remember a wildfire that caused this much financial and economic damage. Is that correct?
It's definitely one of the worst.
One of the worst in my
And I think it's because it is hitting a lot of homes.
Yeah, well,
and communities. Sometimes these wildfires will burn tens of thousands of acres out in
a forest.
Or out
prairie.
Yes. Yeah. But this look, and like I said, the image I saw, if you go to Fox News, that's just extraordinary.
In some cases, this is probably worse than a hurricane or a tornado in some ways, you know. So I wonder how long it's going to take for them to build back their community and what will be some of the changes and some of the opportunities that come from something this destructive that caught everybody by surprise.
Right, right.
Now, to go with our discussion today, talking about the damage and the cost and things of that sort, the fire situation is creating an insurance crisis for thousands of Californians who have had their policies canceled or not renewed. Now, Fox's Cheryl Cassone was on the air earlier this morning talking about one specific major insurance company leaving Southern California rather than continuing to pay. Clip two.
This is when the idea of your home insurance, your rental insurance, really becomes reality. Most of us never lose our property and have to go through this. Unfortunately, the people in California this morning are waking up to this after losing their homes. Again, reportedly, we're now at 2,000 structures that have been destroyed. Now, there was a report in Newsweek this morning about State Farm. They're the largest insurance company in California. They have reportedly canceled hundreds of homeowners' policies just this past summer in Pacific Palisades specifically, according to Newsweek. And they justified it because they're trying to avoid, quote, financial failure. The California Insurance Commissioner, he spoke to the local Los Angeles affiliate, and he came out and he said, he's telling people, don't sign anything. If you've lost your home and an adjuster shows up at your house today, don't sign anything. Be careful, because the insurance companies, I'm telling you, these adjusters, will give you 70% of what your house is worth, when legally, you're supposed to get 100%.
I have posted the link to that Newsweek story on our Today's Issues Facebook page for people to read for themselves.
And just a comparison here, mentioning about economic damage. So in 2023, the Maui wildfires that we may remember, they were between between $13 billion and $16 billion. So this is almost three times that size economic damage. So.
You know, this Wesley, one of the things from this aspect of the story that Chris just brought up, this is true about areas prone to hurricanes or tornadoes or flooding, earthquakes. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is kind of a roll of the dice for a lot of people, because insurance companies, like every major corporation, are in business to make money. So the more money they have to pay, especially in repeated circumstances, multiple hurricanes may be hitting the Gulf Coast, the Gulf of America, you know, according to Donald Trump. it becomes difficult sometimes for people to get insurance or to find insurance, home insurance we're talking about, that they can pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And if they gamble with it, I don't know how many people in Southern California, if I'm sure this story is true, if State Farm was canceling people's insurance over the summer, were they able to get insurance here this is an aspect of it that we sometimes don't think about. We think about the horror of losing members of the family to fires or people losing everything they own. But on top of that, there are insurance issues that just add to the tremendous strain people are under when they're in the midst of this.
Yeah, when I first saw the story a couple of days ago, I obviously devastated, and I was feeling hurt for those that are right in the middle of it. But I also thought, okay, this will be a one-day news story.
Yeah.
And here we are, what are we, three or four days in? 3 days in?
And I think it started on Tuesday.
Okay. Well, it just seems like a lot longer because, I mean, every time you look, it's not, there's no end to it. I don't see an end to it.
This, it will start earlier than Tuesday. Maybe I just have that.
Tuesday is kind of a good time frame to mention. I will say it's still a lead story, definitely what news people call the first block news story. Mm. The only thing that could trump this tomorrow going through the weekend is a huge winter storm like where we live on North.
Well, they could use a winter storm in California.
They
right
really
now.
Could.
Yeah, they could use the ice, rain, snow, any of that kind of thing. But they're not going to get that in California. What else you got? Anything else on this
story? I do. Now, as is always the case with anything, local, state, and federal officials are blamed. And many people are very upset, not just people in Los Angeles, but a lot of Americans on social media last night were really critical of the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, former member of Congress. I think she was actually on Biden's short list for a VP back in 2020. But anyway, she left Congress. She became the mayor of Los Angeles. And she is being hammered today on social media because she was there in Los Angeles. Reporters were standing around her. And I have audio here of a Sky News reporter by the name of David Blevins, who's just peppering her with questions. And she's just standing there with her entourage, not answering anything. It's almost as if she is ignoring him and his questions. Clip 3.
Do you owe citizens an apology for being absent while their homes were burning? Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor? Have you nothing to say today? Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today? Elon Musk says that you're utterly incompetent. Are you considering your position?
Well, you're trying.
I'll let the accent helps.
Yes, it
for
does.
For some comedic relief.
Yeah, you know, maybe she was intimidated by the British accent. I would be.
No, I saw that I saw the video. She just refused to look away. I mean, she refused to answer the question by looking away. I mean, it was pretty embarrassing.
Well,
when the accent,
she doesn't really have to. The fact that she was out of town, I don't necessarily blame her for that.
That was pre-scheduled, and it was an important event. So I don't blame her necessarily for that. But her not in a rush to get back.
Yes, that is
more problematic. The first when I found out what was going on, I was like, okay, she's already got this. Okay, but then as we're discussing this 2 days later, at some point we got to start making some comments, some plans. We got to start making some changes, and we're not seeing that.
And it's a legitimate question. By the way, Jenna Ellis, host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, will be with us at the bottom of the hour when we come back from our break. We are going to discuss some of this with her and get her take on some of the political aspects of it. Generally, I don't like jumping on a tragedy and scoring political points for it. We see this sometimes at a school shooting. Sure. The left will say, we told you we need to get rid of
both
the Second
Amendment.
Both
ways, on either side. We're
both
not
ways,
for that.
Sometimes we do that. However, if Mayor, Los Angeles Mayor Karen, is it Bass or Bass?
Bass.
If the policies of the Los Angeles mayor and Governor Gavin Newsom of California have contributed to the situation, circumstances that have allowed this fire to be even more destructive, that's fair game.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so the Karen Bass should have to answer for the fact that her own policies. Listen, I read this morning that the federal government gave billions of dollars to, I don't know if it was just Los Angeles area or California, but to back in 2014 to upgrade and expand the capacity of their water reservoirs precisely for this and for other uses of the water, and they're still not done. Mm-hmm. So listen, there's plenty of criticism to go around, especially since if the governor of California and the president of the United States, still currently Joe Biden,
right,
if they're going to pitch federal money or disaster relief money to the people of California, we have a right to know if their own policies contributed to the circumstances that caused the disaster in the first place.
Yeah.
That's a legitimate discussion.
Currently, and I just shared this on our Today's Issues Facebook page, the LA Times has now written a scathing article about the mayor's absence. As a matter of fact, the LA Times headline is, Mayor's absence is considered a sign LA underestimated fire risks. Some residents say the mayor should have canceled her trip to Ghana when weather warnings in LA grew increasingly dire. Included with this article is a picture of the mayor at some sort of fire briefing. She's got smoke behind her in the sky and then standing there looking all, trying to include himself in the photo, I should say, is Governor Gavin Newsom, who himself is being criticized because I don't have this audio. We were at our max in terms of clips. But Governor Newsom was being interviewed by Anderson Cooper and was being asked, what about the fact that fire hydrants didn't have any water? What can you say to that? And he was like, we're going to have to go to local officials on that one.
Yeah, he was not equipped to answer a question that he really should have had some sort. I have no problem with him deferring to local individuals in government to get a better understanding of the situation, right. But he should have had some answer for the media. He basically shrugged.
He did.
Raised his hands. He said, I don't know. We're going to have to ask the local people.
And that's,
if you're going to show up for a photo op,
mm-hmm.
you should have some understanding of what's happening.
And when you are presumably the front runner for 2028, I know there's a long time between now and 2028, but it's not that far away.
No, don't start talking about
that. Will come back to haunt him.
Oh, yeah.
They'll use anything he did to California against him, and that's just one more thing.
There's obviously a lot of things we can talk about here, but with the few minutes we got left, have y'all been seeing these clips that are being replayed of the LA fire chief, she's a female lesbian, mm-hmm. and all the clips that they've, the effort that they've gone to be as diverse as possible.
We do have some sound.
We got sound on that? Okay.
Is that yours or Steve Jordahl?
Steve contributed it, but I mean,
that's what happens when we miss a show prep meeting. That's on me, Steve. Steve, that is on me. I apologize. I've taken it from Steve and I've given it to Chris.
Well, let's wait on Steve. Okay. I think he was going to cover some of that,
It's a deep tease. When you tease something further into the show.
Yes.
Like your tease.
That is something we're going to get to because if you are spending tax dollars to promote woke policies
and
DEI rather than filling up the reservoirs with water and giving firefighters what they need to fight fires.
Yes.
Okay. Or if you're looking now, obviously I've never been a fireman.
Sure.
My understanding is, listen, women want to fight fires just like men, but it's a physically demanding job.
Yep. Especially
and I'm not sure
positions
that,
of the fire department.
Yes. And I'm not sure that women can always fill the bill in terms of what a man can do. So,
and if they can, great. But yes. Not at the expense of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah, you cannot. I feel this way about the military as well, police, fire, all kinds of emergency rescue. If you cannot meet the minimum standards of the job, okay, you shouldn't get the job.
Yeah.
Okay, you can still serve.
Sure.
Okay, now, if you're a woman and you can carry the hoses and the equipment and you can carry a body out if you need to, then fine.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you can't, you need to accept your physical limitations, just like if you're a man and can't do that.
Same thing. Yep. Yeah, and, you know, we're seeing this over and over again. That this is where DEI gets exposed at its most. When tragedies happen and you look back and said this could have been prevented in the event that we would have got someone more qualified.
Right.
Either physically, mentally, or just trained wise, being more trained.
You know, right. So.
All right. I guess we'll save the story.
Steve? Let's save that story for Steve.
Stick around.
We got to save something for
him.
That's right.
Now, whatever Jenna wants to talk about with regards to the fire, we'll let her do that.
Sure.
And, She's a radio talk show host in her own right, so if she wants to take us there, we'll go there. She will be coming up after the break. We're going to take a few minutes and let you listen to some other things, AFA, AFR-related folks. Jenna Ellis will be joining us. We'll be talking with her, getting her take on the fires, but also talking with Jenna about some platform changes. Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg. Mm-hmm. Are some things changing in terms of a woke outlook on what happens in social media? Anyway, we'll talk to Jenna about that when we come back. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We'll be back in a few minutes. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor five ultrasounds. And now, through a match, your gift is doubled. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back, everybody. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Wesley Wildman and Chris Woodward. And now, the always effervescent Jenna Ellis, host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning Herd weekdays at 7 a.m. Central Time on American Family Radio, and host of the On Demand podcast, found at AFR.net. You can just go to AFR.net and look and just click on the podcast drop-down menu and find the On Demand podcast. Jenna, good morning to you.
Good morning. Happy New Year. And I am extra effervescent today because we are experiencing close to freezing temperatures in Florida. And
what?
As a Floridian now, I did not sign up for this. So when you can see your breath and you're more effervescent than usual in Florida, that's not so much a good thing.
Now, don't the what kind of lizards do you have that fall out of the trees when it turns cold
those,
in Florida?
Iguanas.
Yeah, the iguanas.
The iguanas.
That's a real thing, right? When the weather gets below a certain temperature, cold, these iguanas, which are everywhere down in Florida, they'll sometimes just fall out of the trees. They're not dead, I don't think. I think they're just slumbering.
They're just freezing, and there are so many Instagram videos. Like, I follow all of the local Florida stuff, which is hilarious. And I have yet to actually see a falling iguana that may be in store for me in 2025. We'll see. But the interesting thing that I have observed about Florida is that nobody here knows what cold weather shoes are all about. So everybody is out in their house slippers. I was wondering, I'm like, what are like the people of Walmart all doing right now? What is going on? And I realized it's because that's the warmest shoe that they own. And it was fascinating.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, I will say this, and then Chris is dying to say something here. I will say this. My wife, we've been married for 43 years. I have learned not to question fashion choices, okay? I'm certainly not a man of fashion myself. But the shoes that you can wear out in public, and house shoes, we used to call just slippers, now look alike. And I said to her the other day, I said, you're going out in your slippers? She said, no, these aren't slippers. These are like comfortable shoes for going out. So in defense of the people who show up at Walmart, I'm not sure anybody can tell the difference anymore between what you should and should not wear.
It's totally valid. And, you know, the onesies for public are now
coming
thing
back.
And sweatpants. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think the COVID indoor people just didn't want to go back to regular clothes after we all worked in sweatpants for a solid year.
Well, I will say this, and then we are going to get to some valid news here.
This is news. Come on, Ed.
Yes, this is important.
Breaking.
Tim frequently says that COVID absolutely broke AFA's dress code. Because when we all came back from COVID, we used to have jeans. It was casual Friday.
Because of you.
And
I may have had you instituted the policy.
I may have had a part to play in
Thank you.
And now folks can wear jeans. And Tim, as funny as he is, this is one of his better lines. He said, basically, as long as you don't come to work in your pajamas, the dress code has been relaxed that much.
Yes, it is. So,
amazing. Right. But can you even tell between, like, actual jeans and, you know, the jegging PJs anymore? I mean, I feel like you need to test that, Ed.
I don't even know what that is. What?
Ask PJs? Your wife. Legging. She'll yes, know. Okay. She'll know what jeggings are.
Chris apparently knew.
Yes.
All right, Chris. You had something that you wanted to add to?
I did. So generally when Florida has cool temperatures or unseasonably cold weather, there are concerns or news reports that maybe orange juice is going to go up or the price of oranges, because we've all seen the pictures of, like, I have several pulled up here on the computer, frozen oranges, like, hanging from the tree. Have you by chance seen or heard concerns that, you know, things like that are going to be impacted in the weather that you mentioned?
I have not seen any news. I haven't seen anything from, you know, any of the Florida government websites talking about that, concerned about that. And I don't think that this particular cold stint is supposed to last that long. But we'll see, because in the forecast, potentially, it is supposed to snow in the Magic Kingdom at Disney World for the first time in 50 years. So it's possible.
That's crazy.
That's Joe Biden's fault somehow.
Yes.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
All right, Jenna, let's get to something a little more serious. I do want to talk to you about Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. But before we do that, what is your take on the situation with these wildfires in California?
Well, at first, it's utterly tragic. And people on social media who are posting, you know, kind of glee of some more famous celebrities' homes being destroyed if they disagree with their political view. I mean, and Republicans and Democrats, you know, left and right. I mean, people who are talking about James Woods, who, of course, leans conservative, or Mark Hamill, of course, who is famous for Star Wars, his home getting destroyed. I mean, none of that is okay, first of all, and we should all be praying for everyone affected. But this really boils down to the utter failure of leftist policies. And I think Trump is absolutely right that Gavin Newsom needs to resign, as well as the Los Angeles fire chief, as well as the mayor, because when you look at the diversity, equity, and inclusion policies that were promoted and prioritized over actually having good policy surrounding natural forest fires and wildfires, which are common, unfortunately, in LA, this was just an utter failure of responsiveness. And if you contrast that in that leadership compared to, let's say, in Florida with Governor DeSantis, I mean, we go through a hurricane season every year. I've been through two now. As a Floridian, the response and the preparedness beforehand is impeccable. And even though, you know, obviously he can't prevent hurricanes, the response to that can be so timely that they can mitigate the damage as quickly as possible, get out, save lives, all this. None of that is happening in California. Why? Because they don't care. They would rather prioritize their ideology than basic facts about nature, the laws of nature and of nature's God. I'll quote the founders on that. And so I agree with President Trump that Newsom needs to resign. I mean, basically the entire government of California needs to make like Justin Trudeau and, you know, just get out.
Well, because there are policy considerations. We talked about this in the first segment. There are policy considerations in terms of what you do with water. If you're going to use water to fill up reservoirs or to protect, as in the case of California, to protect a particular species of fish, that makes a big difference where that water goes, because there is certainly proof that firefighters are having a problem in certain areas finding water. And so these kinds of policies, as well as the burn bans and not burning through some of the underbrush when that's feasible to remove some of the fuel for these wildfires because you're worried about certain critters that might lose their homes, those are all policies that will change the level of devastation, right?
Yeah, and you know, the only critters that the government should be concerned about losing their homes are human beings.
Yep, I agree.
Right.
You know, that needs to be the priority. And the concern that I have as well is, are we going to actually learn from this disaster? Because we're seeing the DEI policies and the globalist policies and, you know, all of the woke leftism that has had utterly disastrous consequences for all of the reasons that you just mentioned, Ed. And yet, we're still prioritizing DEI in other places and other commercial places and other government places. And so the next potential wildfire that could be just around the corner, we need to prevent that up front by utterly ridding corporations, government, and DEI out of absolutely everything.
All right, is it okay if we switch topics now?
Yes, go ahead.
Time we got. Jenna, this is Wesley Wildman here. I wanted to ask you a couple questions about, or start with one question about the Mark Zuckerberg. I mentioned either yesterday or the day before, his motives to what he's doing. Obviously, you know, we can question, you know, why now, and we can, how sincere is he and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, it seems to me that the comments he's making, and I'll read one of them. This is Mark Zuckerberg on Fox and Friends. He said, the recent election, recent elections feel like a cultural tipping point towards once again prioritizing free speech. Then he said, so we're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expressions on our platforms. And he says that several other things very similar to that. What do you make of this? Do you think that is it from an impact standpoint, political or cultural impact standpoint, is it kind of for Facebook, is it kind of like too late and it's more like just kind of doing it? Or do you think more so this could have an impact on how people make decisions or think about America based on him kind of opening up the platform or opening it back up the way, in the same way that X has?
Well, I think you're entirely right to be skeptical. I'm skeptical as well. And I had Christian Losfall, who is the digital director over at the Heritage Foundation, on Jenna Ellis in the Morning on the radio program. So listeners, if you missed that this morning, you can listen to that interview on our podcast page. And it was in the last segment this morning. And his comment, which I think was very wise analysis, is that Zuckerberg is really just responding here and openly admitting that he's responding to the current tenor of of the community, right, and of politics. And so as soon as that changes, is he going to implement the censorship that we've just experienced? I mean, this isn't like he had a change of heart. It's not like he's saying, oh, you know what, guys, I was really wrong. I see the lessons from COVID, for example. You know, so I think we're wise to be skeptical. He also hasn't really given any particular detail as to how the algorithms are actually going to change. And I think that we need to have that information. But this is where, and I asked Christian Losfall this morning, is this a time for perhaps the Republican trifecta to actually legislate around Section 230 and once and for all say that the digital public square, people who utilize that have a right to be free from not only just outright censorship and suspension, but even things like shadow banning and throttling. And I mean, visibility is a huge thing. If you can't be seen, then no one can engage with your content. So there are a lot of different ways that Congress could actually do their job and have almost like a consumer protection type of thing with these algorithms having transparency, but then also a First Amendment protection if this is actually deemed a public utility, which I think as we're heading into 2025, it's far past time that this has to be something more like a phone company where, you know, AT&T and Verizon can't throttle me and my message reach depending on whether or not they prefer my content.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is a really important issue. And by the way, I absolutely agree with both you and Wesley in terms of Mark Zuckerberg, because he may have single-handedly turned the 2020 election with his Zuckerbucks, you know, going into these communities and driving turnout and maybe ballot harvesting in Democratic cities. Yep. So I think we're all right to be skeptical. But this issue that you just raised, Jenna, about what constitutes the public space, the public square, is critical. And I'm not sure what the answers are. You're an attorney. I'm not. But I do know we have had here at AFA and AFR, we've had run-ins with credit card processors who basically canceled us, would not allow our donors to give to AFA because these credit card processors and one particular credit card, Discover, would not allow, because they were looking at the SPLC and the fact that they'd put us on a hate list, they would not allow us for our supporters to give via their credit card. We've heard of debanking. I mean, these kinds of things, credit cards, banks, as well as social media platforms, increasingly, they are the only way into the public square. And if these all go woke or become anti-Christian, it becomes extremely problematic.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I mean, this isn't just about the digital public square. This is also about a right to be free from political viewpoint discrimination, just like we have a right against religious discrimination, for example. And so, you know, why didn't we write that into the Civil Rights Act and expand the definition of those types of rights to access instead of writing in, you know, the SOGI language, which was utterly ridiculous. But you're absolutely right, because if companies can discriminate for political viewpoint, then a lot of times what happens, and Seth Dillon from the Babylon Bee expresses this well when he calls it soft censorship, where we often then just don't post our opinions, or we're not as loud about them because we fear getting canceled or censored. And so we're doing the job of the censorship anyway for them. And he encourages against that. And I would echo that to say, you know, we need to stand up and not do the censoring for them. And one of the reasons that I love and appreciate the American Family Radio Network is that we can't be canceled here, and we are not going to back down from speaking truth or self-censorship. And that's part of the reason that I love being at this network, because we don't have any of those types of parameters. But we've got to make sure that, you know, AFA as a whole and Christian organizations as a whole don't encounter that type of thing at businesses or other places that we need to function our ministry.
Well, and to your point of the self-censorship, this is one of the concerns traditionally that have driven the protection of the First Amendment, is the chilling nature of policies on free speech. I just saw it's within the last year, a survey of professors at major colleges and universities who are conservative, and there are not a whole lot of them percentage-wise on these college campuses, but they said they self-censor because they don't want to get canceled. So the chilling effect of this kind of discrimination, soft or hard, either way, can be devastating to free speech. And it is a battle worth fighting. And I hope Mark Zuckerberg, Meta CEO, I hope he's had a change of heart. But like you, Jenna, I am suspicious that if the winds changed again, what would he do in terms of his influence? Would he then switch back to being an oppressor of opinions with which he disagrees? So anyway, great discussion. Jenna, thank you. Any idea what you'll be talking about tomorrow on your show? I know sometimes that's a little fluid, but what can folks expect?
Yeah, so I'm actually really excited for tomorrow's radio show. I'm going to have Ryan Helfenbein, who is the executive director of the Standing for Freedom Center at Liberty University, on to talk about this ongoing debate on X about whether or not Christians, Jews, and Muslims worship the same God. So we're going to dive deep into a theological topic tomorrow. And then for On Demand, which is every Friday, that podcast, one of our listeners wrote in and asked about this report that there are additives to cow feed that are untested, and we don't know how they're affecting the livestock, and so therefore we don't know how they're affecting the humans that are then eating the byproduct or the cows themselves. And so have a really great guest on for that. We'll be doing a deep dive. So a lot of fun stuff for your Friday.
As long as you just don't take my bacon. We'll be good. Just don't take the bacon.
Listen, all right, well, bacon is a top five food. Yeah,
that's right.
100%.
Absolutely.
You know,
and if you find out something about bacon, I don't want to know.
That's right.
Hot dogs, right? Nobody wants to know what's in them.
All right. Thank you, Jenna. God bless you and all the great work you're doing, not just here on American Family Radio, but especially here. We're very appreciative of your guests and your insights and all the work you do. And be careful of falling iguanas.
Thank you. I will. So I appreciate that. Thanks, guys. Okay. Happy New Year.
All right.
Head on a swivel there in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a real thing. My father.
I'm having a hard time believing you. I'm guessing.
Oh, no. This is a real thing.
Okay. And the news reporters just fact checked you and said, yes, he
trust me. I'm a reporter.
Yes. Well, my dad, who passed away a couple of years ago, his wife, she lives down in Florida. And when we went down to visit, when my dad was still alive, and we've been down there to visit his widow as well since then. But we do talk about this, and she says, no, this is a real thing. They will just, because their body temperature, it's almost like they go into hibernation.
Yeah.
And they will just drop out of trees, and some of them are big.
Not flying iguanas,
no.
Falling iguanas.
Falling iguanas. So.
Yes.
Anyway, that's a real thing. Folks, look it up.
Yeah, sure.
I wouldn't lie to you.
I'll save you the time. Just go to our Today's Issues Facebook page, where just now I posted a story from AccuWeather, and the headline is, Florida residents warned to prepare for falling iguanas amid
nice.
Temperature drops.
It sounds like a Babylon Bee headline. It does. It sounds absurd, but. It's a real deal.
It may be the source of a movie on Sci-Fi before we know it.
Yes.
Falling iguanas.
And there's no better time to use the phrase heads up. Heads up for falling iguanas. No, literally.
Yes.
Heads up.
Heads up. Who wants to? Yeah, but be careful. Who wants to get a face full of
iguana.
Falling iguana?
Yeah.
All right.
Real quick, this would be a nice way, I think, to kind of cap off recent comments from all of us about things like DEI policies and big tech doing things they shouldn't do that the public and investors and consumers don't want them to do. I've got some audio here. It's a 45-second clip of activist Robbie Starbuck. He's the guy out there fighting DEI policies pretty much on a daily basis now, alongside many other individuals and organizations. But Robbie is among the many people out there saying corporations just need to be neutral. End of story. Clip 11.
And for those of you who are new to watching my videos, you might be wondering, what is corporate neutrality? And it's very simple. Companies need to stay out of divisive issues. Unless it's related directly to the regulation of their business, they should not be involved in politics. We don't want to know what Macy's thinks about trans rights, okay? And you know what? If they want to speak up and talk about it, we don't want to spend our money there. We have a right as customers to know how the money is being spent later, and then we can decide if we want to give our money to that company. And in many cases now, we are waking up and saying, no, we don't want to give our money to this company that hates our values and everything we believe in. So that is why we're taking this stand. We want companies to get out of the divisive issue. And that means I don't want them taking on my politics either and advocating for my policy positions. I'm just saying neutral. Let's stay out of the way of politics and divisive issues and just act normal, sell great products, and everybody can exist without any more division.
That was easy to understand.
I could just put that
normal.
In a story and go, I'm Chris Woodward, and that would be the end of the story. There
just
you go.
Act normal. I like it.
Act normal. Listen.
Stay out of politics.
This is Robbie Starbuck, which I think I said last year,
he's
awesome. One of the all-time great names. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like a character in Battlestar Galactica or something, but mm-hmm. He just kind of came out of nowhere. I think he hit at the right time. I think, in fact, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong here, but he caught on right during the Bud Light fiasco?
Uh-huh. Around that time.
Yeah, and I think people were just growing tired of, I mean, AFA and other groups have been saying this since the late 80s, early 90s, to companies, to Hollywood, to Disney when we first started a boycott of Disney back in 97, I think, 98. We said, look, all we're saying is just remain neutral. Okay. That's been the request on the part of social conservatives and Christians for 30-something years. But Robbie Starbuck has hit at the right time because people now see the damage that all this kind of stuff is doing, and it was a perfect storm for this young man. I say he's a young man. I think he's in his 30s. kind of like you guys. Okay. So you guys are young men too, to me anyway, when you're in your 60s or thereabouts. And it's just, people are saying, yeah, that's part of the solution we want to see. Just remain neutral.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Because, and it's Michael Jordan that said years ago when he was asked, you know, why don't you emphasize one or the other? He said, because both people buy my product.
Yeah, Republicans buy sneakers too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's simple. I think that type of thinking, we can be critical or skeptical of Mark Zuckerberg, but I do think that's, at least from a political standpoint or a rationale standpoint, I do think he's landing on that plane. He's landing on that tarmac because why not just allow both people on both sides to share their thoughts on Facebook and not censure to get involved or police it?
Well, I think a lot of this woke DEI emphasis on the part of major corporations came in the wake of the George Floyd protests.
Sure.
And a lot of these companies wanted to prove that they weren't racist.
Yeah.
Okay. As if anybody was accusing them of being racist before that.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they jumped on that bandwagon and now they're getting caught in the cultural crossfire and they're realizing that our number one job is to sell widgets, to make and sell widgets, to use an old economics 101 kind of a term, where we make products and we sell products. And to your point about Michael Jordan, guess what? We want everyone to buy these products.
Yeah.
So why are we getting involved in these cultural battles? I hope that continues. It is true that the pendulum does swing back and forth, and sometimes companies will change their minds. But at the moment, we congratulate Robbie Starbuck because he's getting a lot of these companies to back off those policies. McDonald's is the most recent example of that. So good on you, Robbie Starbuck. Still love the name and hope you have continued success. All right, we're going to take a five-minute break for news. You're listening to Today's Issues. We'll be right back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.